How many people have your Bibles today? If you have your Bible, stand up and raise it above your head. Bear witness of God's Word. All right, you may be seated. Turn, if you would, please, to the book of Genesis, chapter 22. Genesis, chapter 22. I want us to talk today about a subject that seems to elude us. It is called the place of blessing. The place of blessing. Can you say that with me?
The place of blessing.
Again.
The place of blessing.
Now, we know place usually refers to a geographical location. So if you were to understand, even in the children's sermon, the place of blessing was where they received their blessing. So that's pretty simple. We get that, right? The place of blessing is where you receive your blessing. Can someone repeat that for me? All right, now let's do it all together. The place of blessing is where you receive your blessing. So how many people here would love to be blessed? All right, most everybody here. Anybody here not in need of a blessing? You're pretty well saying, I don't need any kind of blessing on my life at all. Anybody good? No, right? We all want blessings, and blessings come in different variety of ways. Blessings can be something that we look as a material need that we have, but in all these things, blessings, by Webster's definition, is a piece of good fortune. Also, it could be divine favor. So, of course, we're going to talk about blessings from God, because we could get blessings from so-called people, but they're not technically blessings. We're just carrying out a blessing from God. Let's say you go and you work for something and you earn a certain amount of money, and maybe it's the place you work, and so they give you something for the amount you worked. Is that a blessing?
Yes.
It's not a blessing. Because you put something and you worked and you earned it, right? You worked for it. A blessing is something that you get that you can't buy. A blessing is something that you don't deserve. A blessing is something that you couldn't have unless someone otherwise gave it to you. That's the difference. I think we confuse blessings sometimes, right? Blessing is when God blows your mind. Blessing is when you can't figure out how it happened. And so I want to talk about getting to the place of blessing. I don't think that we get to the place of blessing in our life as many times as we need to. And here's the thing that I realized in preparing for this and studying for this. I look back on my life, and all of a sudden, you know, you're reading in the Word of God and you're researching and you're studying the Scriptures, and you have that aha moment, that's good moment, that moment to where it's like, oh yes, yes, maybe this is going to help somebody else, because it sure hit me right between the eyes. I look back in a time in my life whenever I came to salvation knowledge of God. I received the blessing of His salvation. I had fellowship with Him. I began to read His Word. I was in church. I was in a youth group, and I was witnessing to people. I went to school, and I was telling other people. I didn't care what they thought about me. I wanted to tell them what happened to me, and I was with these other crazy people at church that felt the same way. We would come in, we would fellowship, and people would feel happy, like at peace. And I gave that up because there was a time in my life, maybe about 16, 17, where I decided, listen, I want these things in life that I want. And so here's my plan to get these things that I want. I want the material things that other people have, so this is my plan I'm going to put in place, and I'm going to work this way, and I'm going to earn this kind of thing. And listen, I want to be known as this, so I'm going to work in this particular area of talent so that I can get this. And I want the pleasures that everybody else is doing, so I want to get that. So what I did was I went away from the Lord for years. And can I tell you something? I didn't find those things in my journey. As a matter of fact, I had a motto during those years, because even as a Christian, I began to realize that nothing ever went right in my life. And I accepted a motto, and I used to say it all the time. I mean, every time something would break, every time something would happen, and this was the motto, I can't have nothing. Double negative. I rode that motto, right? I can't have nothing. Anybody ever been at that point to where something happens? Hey, here's the new car. I'm going to wash it for the first time. And you walk around the other side and your son's helping you with a rock wash your car. And you think, I can't have nothing. I mean, it could happen with any little thing. Anything that you think is going right. Here's the great job. Listen, I got a promotion at my job today. Hey, next week they're closing the company. I can't have nothing. You ever been in that place? I was in that place for a long while. And I realized, as a Christian, I began to say, "Why God's not blessing me. I'm his child. He's not blessing me." And I realized, well, it's something I'm doing wrong. And then today I want you to see the reason that we don't get blessed is because we fail to go to the place of blessing. You say, where's the place of blessing? I want you to realize this today. Abraham went to the place of blessing. You see, the reason that we don't get blessed is not God's fault, it's our fault. The place of blessing is the place that you actually receive the blessing of God, but you have to go there. So Genesis 22, we read a story about Abraham. Abraham, described in the Old Testament and New Testament as the great man of faith. A little background here. Abraham and Sarah, they had prayed for years and years. Sarah was 90 years old. Abraham was 100. They were still praying, God, please give me a child. Please give me a child. God blessed them with a child. His name was Isaac. It was a blessing. Why was it a blessing? They couldn't do it. God had to intervene. She was barren. She was 90. He was 100. God blessed them. Then God asked him in chapter 22, hey, Abraham, would you give up your blessing if I told you you needed to do it? Verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. That means he tested him. And he said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. This is God speaking. And he said, take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon the mountains, which I will tell thee of. And Abraham disputed with God and argued with God and debated God. Is that in your Bible? No. Look at verse 3. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, abide ye here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and the knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together, and they came into the place which God had told them of. And Abraham built an altar there, and he laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar of the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thy hand upon the lad. Neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. This place, Abraham was willing to offer his son Isaac, that God intervened and supplied this sacrifice, was located on the hills or mountains called Moriah. You see that in verse 2. I want us to really focus on verse 14. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh. Can you say that with me?
Jehovah Jireh.
And it is said to this day, that means that's what it's called to this day. Now, we don't speak that, so what does that mean? That means God will provide. Amen. He said that after he found the ram in the thicket. Pretty ironic. I guess ironic is not a good word to use. This was God showing us thousands of years before, because this place that he was willing to offer his sacrifice, his son Isaac, this mountain or hill region at Moriah, that is where they later built the temple that Solomon built. That is later where Jesus Christ himself was crucified on a hill named Golgotha. It's amazing how God could know that far ahead of time and use this kind of symbolism, right? So when we look at this and we say, what significance does it have to us? So many times this sermon is preached in a way, and me myself, I have preached it in a way to where you're looking at this symbolic correlation between that sacrifice made then and the sacrifice that Jesus made as he died on the cross. How many people have looked at it in that way before? And so that's powerful. But I saw something in here that really struck me. It really grabbed me, and it helped me to be able to look back. And that's what I want to share with you today, is that in all of this, that was just a place of blessing. And the ram had significant meaning to it. That ram caught in the thicket. That lamb was a future blessing. Now, stay with me here. I want to show you something. This ram that Abraham found in the thicket, it was a picture of Jesus, who was the substitutionary offering that was given by God so Abraham could have fellowship with God. And this had to happen because in the Old Testament, if you don't know this, this will help you. In the Old Testament, the way that man would have fellowship with God is that he had to offer something, sacrifice something. Can you say that word, sacrifice? He had to sacrifice something. He had to give something that was important to him. So in order to have fellowship, you would have to come into covenant with God. That means that you bring something to God. You would bring your best lamb, your best goat, your best bull, and you would offer it. Not your mediocre, not the one that's a little game, not the one that's limping, not the one that's not healthy. You would bring your very best, right? So Jesus is a picture of the sacrificial offering that God gave for us, because in order to have fellowship back then, they had to bring this, they had to put it on the altar, the sacrifice had to be killed, the blood was used to make atonement with God. That's the way God would have fellowship with man, and sins would be forgiven. So this was the picture that we were able to see. Abraham was willing to sacrifice to the Lord his most precious thing, his son. So this proved his belief and trust in God. This is an important verse here. If you look at verse 12, God stopped Abraham from sacrificing his son, and the angel was able to speak on behalf of God, and this is what God was telling him: "For now I know that thou fearest God." That was the reason that he stopped him. I know now that you do fear me. Now, fear doesn't mean be afraid. Fear means a holy, reverent respect. That means I want to obey you. I want to listen to you. So the angel would say, hey, you've passed the test. Now I know. Now, could he have passed that test if he didn't go up on that mountain? No way. Could he have passed that test if he would have decided to, okay, I'm bringing something else to sacrifice? No. He went all the way through to where he was almost willing to sacrifice, or almost, he was willing, he was almost ready to. And God stopped him. You see, the amazing thing to me is that God already had a ram caught in the thicket. It was there to be given to Abraham, but God needed to see if Abraham was sincere in his love for him. In the same way, God has Jesus for us, and his sacrificial death can be used for us if we are serious about it. Well, how can you know that you're serious about it? Well, you have to be willing to prove your love to God. I'm so against, and I know that I've told you before, I'm so against the new way, I guess the progressive way that we can bring people to God by saying, okay, listen, do you believe in God? Yes, I believe in God. Do you believe that Jesus died on the cross? Yes, I believe that Jesus died on the cross. Then if you believe that, say this prayer and you're going to go to heaven. Do you know what is missing in that whole transaction? There was no sacrifice from anyone. You say, well, if you believe in God and you believe in Jesus, you're going to go to heaven. No, if you come to God and give Him yourself and sacrificially say, I want to give you my sins because I can't bear them, and I want to sacrifice my own belief that I can save myself, I want to give something, and then I want to give myself and say, hey, please, be Lord of my life. I give myself to you. Have you ever heard anybody say, I gave my heart to Jesus, I gave my life to Jesus? Well, that's what happens when you sacrifice, you give something. It's not a matter of just saying some words. It's a sincere, and from that sacrifice comes the blessing of salvation. You see, the blessings of God come when we prove our love and devotion to Him. The place of blessing will be where we prove it. If I look at my life and you look at your life, you will know that if you have a marriage that is blessed, at some point in time in that marriage, you have had to prove yourself and sacrifice your selfish ways in order for the blessings to come from the other person. And if it's working both ways, they have had to do it. That's the way blessing and sacrifice work, right? And we're fine to think about it that way, but we fail to think about it sometimes the way God wants us to see. We keep saying, where are my blessings? Where are my blessings? The place of blessing will be at the place we prove our love by sacrificing something to God. And I think this is where our thought seems to get off track. We expect the blessings of God, but we expect those blessings without our sacrifice. I'll go back to my life here in the past because this sermon really preached to me. There was direct correlation when I stopped being willing to sacrifice anything to God. Those people that I used to go and witness to, and I would lead some young people to the Lord at school, all of a sudden I began to think how they thought about me. So I didn't want to bring that up because, hey, I was getting to be older and an upperclassman, and so I wanted them to have this image of me. I wanted them to think that I was cool, that I was a good athlete, that I was successful. I wanted to think all these things that we want people to think. So I didn't really want to be known as the little preacher that was going in there and saying things, so I wasn't willing to sacrifice the social picture that somebody had of me. I wasn't willing to sacrifice the in-group that I wanted to be accepted of. I wasn't willing to sacrifice these things, these ambitions I had, because I wanted to be rich too. Yes, at 16, yes, I wanted to be rich, so I didn't want to sacrifice time that I needed to put into Him. I wanted to go and I wanted to start with my plan for my success. Can I get a witness? Anybody ever been there? Amen. Do you know that in order to get the blessings of God, you would have to sacrifice? Amen. Hey, listen, I found 10 years down the road, there were years where I could look back on those years and I can tell you, even as a child of God that knew better, I wasn't even willing to sacrifice. One year I took one day off, and it wasn't even a Sunday. I wasn't even willing to give my time off to worship because I wanted the blessings this world had for me, and I had less than I ever would have had. Remember my motto? I can't have nothing. Why didn't it dawn on me that I couldn't get God's blessing on my life if I wasn't willing to sacrifice anything? I wasn't willing to sacrifice time. I wasn't willing to sacrifice the social view of me. I wasn't willing to sacrifice anything. I just wanted blessings. Hopefully, someone can relate to this. After God blessed Abraham, notice verse 14. Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day. I want to translate a little for you. Jehovah Jireh means Jehovah will provide, or God will provide. I want to translate even further so that we can bring it home. Abraham is declaring after he saw the ram in the thicket, and he doesn't have to give up his blessing, and God is going to bless him even more. Abraham turns around and sees that and says, God will provide. You know what he's saying? God will do his part. I want you to turn to the person beside of you, and I want you to say, God will provide.
God will provide.
Jehovah Jireh.
And
no, we didn't speak in tongues this morning because I explained to you what it meant. All right, say Jehovah Jireh again. God will do his part. Say God will do his part. The reason I'm wanting somebody to tell you that, because it seems to be so easily forgotten. God will do his part. In my plan, my immaculate plan, I forgot that God would do his part. I was trying to do his part, my part, and everybody else's part. God will provide means God will always do his part. And I think that even as Christians, we forget how important it is to live by this statement, Jehovah Jireh, God will provide, this descriptive name of God. Understand this, if we would consistently live knowing that God will provide, that he will absolutely do his part, then we could defeat the fear and anxiety that we live with on a daily basis, knowing that we can receive God's blessings, that we are going to enjoy his fellowship, and we can live with the hope of eternal life. But in order to do this, we have to be able to live this statement, God will do his part. Well, in order for me to live this statement, God will do his part, it can't stop there. If God will do his part, who else has to do their part? He was willing. The ram was there. It was ready to be the blessing. But if Abraham doesn't decide to go up the mountain, the blessing never gets used. The blessing never gets seen. You know, the funny thing is, Abraham's place of blessing was on that mountain, Mount Moriah, where he was willing to sacrifice to God, but he didn't have to go up on that mountain that day. The same way that, yes, God has blessings for us, and we can find what we think are legitimate reasons not to go and do what God tells us to do. You see, he was obedient to what God led him to do. Abraham could have said, listen, I prayed to God for all these years and God blessed me with a son. I am not willing to give up this blessing. I've got it. I'm good. This is where I'm going to stay. I've got what I prayed for. Me and Sarah, we're happy. Do you realize that God said, be willing to give up that blessing and I will bless you with so many descendants, they won't even be able to be numbered. But Abraham could have stayed on that position because God hadn't told him that yet. He could have stayed right there and said, listen, anybody can understand this. Who would want to go sacrifice their son? And he would have went to the neighbor and said, hey, listen, I got something to run by you. I think God is leading me to go up on this mountain and do this, and I just don't know that I'm good with this. And the neighbor would have said, no, God wouldn't lead you to do that. Don't you have those people that will help you in those kind of times? Yeah. God definitely wouldn't want you to do that. Or Abraham could have said, listen, I'm too old. Got this sciatica problem. And for me to carry this fire up here and do all this on this mountain, listen, I'll just sacrifice something to God down here where it's more convenient. I don't have to go up on the mountain. I love God. He loves me. He's blessed me with this. I'm going to stay right where I'm at. Too old. I've done already all these things for God. Why do I need to keep doing things for God? He could have used any excuse. He could have said, hey, listen, I'm too busy. You know, I've got so many heads of cattle. Read the scriptures and you'll be able to see. I've got more cattle. I've got all these blessings that God has given me. And I've got people and shepherds here and people and shepherds here. And they're taking care of sheep. And what I need to do is I need to be able to delegate this because I'm helping all these other people with all my flocks and herds. So I don't have time to go up on the mountain. Listen, if you know how ragged I'm run, God knows that, and so God's going to let me just do this. That's the way I'm going to bless. That's not the way God told him, right? How many people have used that I'm too busy excuse? He never went up on the mountain. Never went up on the mountain. If you don't go up on the mountain, you're not going to be able to receive the blessing. And it's just like us. A lot of times we don't take that trip up the mountain. The place of blessing is where you're willing to sacrifice something. The place of blessing is where we're willing to give something up. I know people today that wish they had this. They're earnestly praying to God, God, please grant me this. Please grant me this. I was one of those people. But they haven't taken a step up the mountain. They want their place of blessing to be wherever they're at. And God says you have to go to the place of blessing. What are you willing to sacrifice? I'm too busy. I've got valid excuses. All of those seem to work for us. At the end of the day, no matter what we use for an excuse, it keeps us from being at the place of blessing. God will provide if we are willing to sacrifice. God will give us the blessing He is willing to provide if we're willing to go to the place of sacrifice. You say, how do you know this? Verse 15 through 18. Read this with me. Verse 15 through 18. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven. This is after Abraham had proclaimed this Jehovah Jireh and God will provide. And God said, I know that you were sincere. He called unto Abraham out of heaven a second time and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, but because thou hast done this thing and has not withheld thy son, thine only son, listen, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sea which is upon the seashore, and the seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed because thou hast obeyed my voice. Amen. Christian, when God speaks to you in that small, still voice and you are around that person, young person, listen to me right now. You're going to be in situations to where, let's just say, I've accepted the Lord, I'm a Christian, I'm a young person, but then I'm going to be around other people that listen, it's a thing now to where we can use this kind of language. We can go to this kind of place. We can participate in this thing that we know is not something that God would like, and everybody else is doing it. And you're going to be in that situation to where you can either go along with it, or you can be able to take a stand and say, I will sacrifice whatever you think about me to be able to take a stand for God. I'll sacrifice that. Do you know that God will bless you above and beyond what you would ever know?
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Hey, adults, it was good looking at the young people like that, wasn't it?
Amen.
Yeah, now let's look at us.
That's right.
That social group that you want to be a part of, that success position that you think you have to get to, those things that interfere and keep us from being able to come to the Lord the way we need to and worship Him, being able to participate in things that would truly serve Him, those things that we're unwilling to sacrifice because we don't want to have people look at us, or we don't want these things to change in our, those things that we're unwilling to sacrifice, that's the place that's keeping us from our place of blessing.
That's right.
You know, there's a key word that God uses here in verse 16. It's called because. Listen to this, because. He gives us a clear blueprint. Genesis 22:16. He said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because, say that word with me,
because
thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son. Do you know that because is a word that's getting ready to reveal something to us? Because always reveals something to us. It gives us the fact. It gives us the reason, doesn't it? Hey, that bread in the oven, it burnt. Now, if you finished this sentence and you were in the oven, what would you have to start that sentence with? Why did it burn?
Because.
And in verse 16, he says, because you were willing to sacrifice your son. That's why I'm going to bless you. You tell me that sacrifice and blessing are not interrelated. They have to be. Because you were willing to do this, I'm going to bless you with blessings. I'm going to multiply you. And I'm not just going to stop there. The blessing that I'm going to give you, this blessing is even going to bless other people.
Right.
You see, in verse 17, he says that in blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thy seed, and the star as the stars of the heaven, the seed which is upon, or the sand which is upon the seashore, and the seed, thy seed shall possess the gate of thy enemies. He was saying, I'm going to bless you with abundance. You're going to have things. I'm going to bless you with protection. You'll be in the gates of your enemies. I'm going to bless you with all kind of things, even future things.
Thank you, Lord.
See, that's the way God is willing to bless us also. He can take the sacrifice of our short life and give us eternal life.
Amen.
Pretty good. Pretty good trade of blessings, right? He can take the sacrifice of our resources and give us abundance that we can't even measure. He can take the sacrifice of our fellowshipping with the world and give us fellowship with Him forever. Ephesians 3:20 says, here's how He can do it. He says, now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ever think, according to the power that worketh in us. You see, as a Christian, as a child of God, if you've accepted the blessing of salvation, do you realize that the blessing of God, that ram that's caught in the thicket, it is somewhere that you need to go to sacrifice, and He has that ram for you. But you could leave that ram in the thicket. I did. Years and years. And there's no doubt there are people that are here today and people listening and people everywhere that have tuned in, and maybe they're online and they're listening, or maybe it's on the radio. And you're thinking to yourself right now, hey, that sort of sounds like the place I'm in right now. We could actually be just sincerely asking, God, God, bless me with this. Please, why can't this happen? Why can't this happen? And fail to look at ourselves and say, hey, have we gone up the mountain? Have we taken our sacrifice and gone up to the altar? This is an altar. We call this an altar, right? What do you do when you come up here? You come to sacrifice yourself to God and pray, right? Are we willing to come to God and say, God, this is what I need to be doing for you? Are we willing to go out and say, God, this is what I want to do? Yes. I would rather enjoy what I'm enjoying here, this worldly experience, or am I willing to sacrifice it? I want people to think a certain thing of me. So I'm really not going to sacrifice that. Okay. That's your choice. That was my choice. Let me ask you this. We don't have a hard time thinking about this, but let's say a baseball player. That baseball player wants to get good at baseball. What does he need to do? Oh, that was an easy answer for you. You said it so quick. Say it again. You mean to tell me in order to get good, you have to what? Do you know that when you practice, it begins with you sacrificing your time? Then it begins with you sacrificing maybe inconvenience as far as I'm going to have to run, I'm going to have to hit this many times, I'm going to have to throw. It takes a lot of sacrifice to be able to be blessed with that talent, right? Why can we think about it that easily and say practice, and when it gets to God, we can keep saying, why can't we be this superstar for you, God? Why can't we be seeing your blessings? And He's saying, you're unwilling to sacrifice. They're in the thicket. They're waiting for you. You could be saying Jehovah Jireh right now, God will do His part, but you're not willing to do your part. So here's what's in store for you. Days of frustration at the bottom of the mountain where you were unwilling to go up and say, I will do this. You say, well, it's hard. Listen, the first time's hard, the second time's hard, but let me tell you, it gets easier. You know why? Because once you start seeing what happens on the mountain, you begin to walk in faith. This man, Abraham, there's a key thing here that sticks out to me. I want you to turn back to chapter 22. Look at this verse. This verse said, verse 7, Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, my father, he said, here I am, son. He said, behold, the fire and the wood. Where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Listen, Isaac said, hey, Dad, listen, you know I'll do anything you want me to do. You know I love being with you. Dad, something doesn't make sense to me. I've been carrying this wood all the way up this mountain. You've had that fire in your hand, and I know we've sacrificed before, Dad, but something doesn't make sense. Where's the lamb we're going to sacrifice? Abraham, think about that man knowing he was going to draw a knife to his son and give his son there. Abraham didn't falter at all. He turned to his son. He said, hey, son, God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering. You say, why is that key? Because Abraham was saying Jehovah Jireh before he got to the mountain. God will provide, right? It wasn't just after it. We think, oh, our celebration is going to come after we see this blessing. I'm telling you, as a child of God, you can walk this Christian life with an attitude of confidence in God that defeats fear, that says no matter what you face, when you're going up the mountain and it seems like this is inevitable, this is going to be bad, you can go up the mountain like Abraham does. I'm sure you weren't in a situation like him. We're faced with, hey, this is what's going on in school. This is what's going on in work. This is what's going on in relationship. This is what's going on in marriage. This is what's going on with my financial. This is what's going on with my health. Listen, Abraham was going to sacrifice his son, and he was going up the mountain saying, Jehovah Jireh, God will provide. God will provide. He was called a man of faith. He was walking by faith and not by sight. He was saying, God will do his part. 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 You know what he was doing? His part. Amen. He lived doing his part because God had never let him down. Listen, once he saw that his wife, 90 years old, had a baby, once he saw his flocks and herds multiply, once he was able to see that God meant his word and destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, once he was able to see those kind of things, Abraham walked saying, I saw the first blessing when I went to the place of blessing. Hey, I saw the second blessing. Now I'm just going to walk knowing that God will provide all the time. Can we walk in that confidence and fear? Absolutely, we can walk in it. You say, that's just naive. Call it what you want to. It's walking by faith and not by sight. Abraham seemed to do well. And he's our example here, right? So, when we look at his life, I look back on my life, I think, okay, what's my takeaway here? I spent a lot of time at the bottom of that mountain battling the I can't have nothings. As a Christian, knowing that I had received that initial blessing of God, he saved me. I went to the mountain that one time and said, God, I give myself to you. But then I wouldn't go back up because I liked what was going on. And you would think I would have stopped liking it. But you know, the human mind, the human heart isn't made that way. There's a part of me that wants me to stay at the bottom of the mountain. It doesn't want me to get blessed. It's a selfish nature inside of me and inside of you that says, don't you sacrifice anything. Everything needs to come to you. Do you know what? That keeps us from our place of blessing. It keeps us from wanting to serve when God gives us opportunity. It keeps us from wanting to put forth effort, whether it's physical effort, whether it's praying effort, whether it's our relationship effort when we're reading the Word of God, whether we're coming to a worship service, whether we're serving in the nursery or children's church, whether we're singing in the choir, whether we're witnessing at work or school, whether we're just living a life, whether we're refusing to do that drug that we're really unwilling to sacrifice, or that habit or that pleasure that takes its place, that we say, I would come and do these things, but I'm busy because I've got these other things I'm unwilling to sacrifice. You say, I never say I'm unwilling to sacrifice. You don't have to. God knows you're unwilling to sacrifice it. He's willing to do his part. His part can't come. He would love to lavish his blessings on you. You are his child. He can make things happen. Listen, God will do his part. You know what that means? Can I just show you what a blessing means to me? A blessing is something that you can't explain. A blessing is when God blows your mind. How did that happen? I'd already made up my mind that there was no hope for this. This couldn't work because my plan didn't work. God did it. And you know when we normally get to those places where we're willing to sacrifice, when our world completely falls out from underneath us. You see, we have a bottom. But do you know that you get to choose your own bottom? It can get this bad for you, and you can cry out to God at that point, and you can say, God, listen, I want to give myself to you. I'm upset. I haven't been faithful to you. I want to turn my life around, and that can be your bottom. But you know what? Sometimes we get stubborn, and we choose a new bottom. And you say, I can't get any lower than this, but then you find out 6 months later, you're lower than that because you refuse to sacrifice at this level. When you finally get to the point where you get on your knees and say, God, listen, I have nothing, so I give myself to you. I give you my belief. I give you my trust. If it's what you want me to do, I'll do it. I don't care what it means. I'll sacrifice to you. The angel said to Abraham, because you were willing to be obedient, I'm willing to bless you. As a father of four kids, I just cannot see myself ever rewarding them for doing wrong. That would be crazy. And if you are a parent that rewards for doing wrong, your house is upside down right now. I don't even want to be in it. Why in the world do I think God would reward me for doing wrong? And listen, he's even way much more of a father than me. He can see what I think, not just what I do. He can see my motives. And here's his position. I got a ram in the thicket for you. You just have to get here. You have to get here. Well, why do I want to sacrifice for my marriage? Maybe I'll sacrifice some of that time I'm on Facebook. Maybe I'll sacrifice this TV program. Maybe I'll sacrifice this habit or this hobby. Maybe I'll sacrifice, hey, this isn't my style, and I'll come and do something that's my wife or husband's style. What am I willing to sacrifice if I'm a young person? Or maybe I'll sacrifice this way I want everybody to see me. Maybe I'll sacrifice this social acceptance that I have. Maybe I'll sacrifice this pleasure that I think I'm entitled to. What about as an adult? Maybe I'll sacrifice these things in life that I want and not go to get them. You see, if you read on in Jesus' plan, he says, if you seek me first in the kingdom of God, I'll add all these things to you anyway. Amazing, isn't it? You know, when you seek him first, that means you've sacrificed something else from being first. You say, well, you're telling me? Listen, I lived the wrong side of it for years and years. I've never stood in front of you and told you that I'm above you. I'm preaching to me. If it hits you, well, fine. I've messed up a lot of times, but listen, I praise God that he lets me realize it because I'd rather save you from those years. I'd rather see the blessings of God where you walk in his favor and all the time you're saying, good gracious, I can't believe how that happened. Glory to God. And I want you walking around saying, Jehovah Jireh, God will provide. And knowing in your mind, I can do my part, he'll do his part. Amen. You see, it doesn't go, you will do your part. No, he will do his part. You have a choice to do your part. God can't not do his part. You're here today or listening today in one of two positions. You are either someone who has never went to the mountain for the first time and got saved. That means you're lost. And you might say, I'm that person that believes in God. I believed in God all my life. The book of James says even the devil believes in God. It says that you have to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you shall be saved. You come unto him and submit unto him. The publican cried out to Jesus and said, have mercy on me. He submitted himself to Jesus. You have to come and sacrifice your life. You're saying, hey, I want to give my life to you. If you're an adult, you've probably done enough time to be able to pray this prayer. Also, God, I've made a mess of it. I want to give it to you. And he will bless you. When you come to God and you're willing to sacrifice, you sacrifice a prayer to him. That prayer is, Lord Jesus, I'm lost. I believe you died for me. The only way that I can come to you is to accept that you died for me as that sacrifice. Your blood was shed for me to cover my sins. I accept that by belief. I'm sacrificing my own belief. I'm accepting that. Be my Lord and Savior, please. Save me. And I will sacrifice. I will give my life to you. You see how sacrifice is interwoven through there? Once you do that, you will receive this big blessing called salvation. It entitles you In a world of entitlement, when everybody's entitled to everything, listen, the only thing you're entitled to is what God entitles you to. If you're saved, you're entitled to a relationship with Him. You're entitled to be able to talk to Him through prayer. You're entitled to walk in fellowship and peace with Him. You're entitled to have your mind blown by His blessings. You're entitled to be able to pray for others. You're entitled to go to heaven if you would happen to die.
Amen.
You can have that blessing and stay there like Abraham could have with Isaac, or you can take that blessing and say, I want to use that blessing and receive other blessings. You see, that last verse, verse 18, it said that through Abraham's seed, Jesus would be born. It said all nations will be blessed through your blessing. You know that Jesus came from the lineage of Abraham? Well, Abraham's blessing blessed me, blessed you. So if you don't want to think about yourself, imagine this. If you're unwilling to sacrifice and go to the mountain, imagine the blessings you're keeping from the other people around you. I mean, I'll make this strong statement to you, and you might not like me for this, but I realize this, and it has to keep me honest, so I'm going to throw it out there, okay? If I wasn't led by God, I wouldn't say it. If you're that person that is constantly, and you're a Christian, you're constantly pouring your heart out to God. You're praying for those precious children. Pray for your children. Pray for them. Asking God's blessing, please bless my child. And I choose that because I know how precious that is. Please bless my child. Please bless my child. But you're unwilling to ever sacrifice? Hey, stop praying. Oh, I can't believe you said stop praying. Stop praying. You're wasting your time and God's time. Well, why? How can you expect blessings with no sacrifice? Man, when that hit me, I felt about this small. I can't expect blessings on anything if I'm not willing to sacrifice anything. I can't just think they're coming to me. Why? Because God's shown me the principle. The place of blessing is at the place of sacrifice. How long would I stay at the bottom of that mountain saying I can't have nothing before I realized that all I needed to do was give what I had and get my mind blown? This thing really hit home to me. And if you're here and you're not saved, God wants you to come up to that mountain and receive. He has a lamb for you named Jesus Christ. If you give your life to Him, He'll give you eternal life. Amen. If you give your service to Him, He will serve you. If you give your time to Him, submit to Him, start with a prayer that says, God, I come here to give myself to You. Immediately, you've walked up on the mountain. He sees that you are. Guess what? He gives you more than you could ever give to Him.
Amen.
I want you to think about this today when we give this invitation. If you're not completely sure that there's been a time in your life when you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you come to that mountain, your place of blessing today will be kneeling before God and saying, God, please be merciful to me, a sinner. I am a sinner. I want to verbally accept You, and I want You to read my heart. I want to give myself to You today. You'll be saved today, and you will be in line to keep finding the rams in the thicket.
Amen.
And if you are a Christian today, the first sacrifice that we need to make, when God convicted me of this and was showing me this, the first sacrifice I could make was to drop to my knees and pray, oh God, I see. I want to sacrifice my pride to You first of all and say I was wrong. Can You forgive me? Now I want to give myself to You today and tomorrow and the next day. I need Your help. Do you remember Ephesians? It said, by the power that worketh in us, God will keep helping you, give you power to overcome that desire not to sacrifice. He'll keep showing you like Abraham. So while you're walking up that hill in life, and you're going to have hills in life, while you're walking up there, you can look at others around you and you can say, Jehovah Jireh.
Amen.
Why aren't you panicking? What's wrong? What if it doesn't work out, Jehovah Jireh? I'm doing my part. I'm doing my part. What's my part? I'm going to sacrifice myself to God, whatever He tells me to do. He'll do His part. Listen, I'm going to come out on top. God will not have His children not come out on top. Where are you today? The bottom of the mountain or the place of the blessing? The place of the blessing is the place of the sacrifice. Father God, I love you and I praise you and I thank you for this day. I thank you, Lord, for your precious word, which finds us where we're at. I thank you, God, for how sharp your word is, that it pierces even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. Lord, it pierces down to the deepest place in our mind and heart. God, you know who we are. You know where we are. I pray today, Lord, speak to us and have the Holy Spirit be so clear to us right now. I pray, God, as people all over this room and people that are listening, Lord, as they see themselves, Lord, in need of blessing, and they begin to sacrifice their prayer to you, I pray, God, you come upon them with peace. Lord, let them see that you have a ram in the thicket for them. Lord, I pray for anyone here that's lost. I pray, God, they would see their need for salvation, that they would sacrifice, Lord, what anybody might say or think if they come forward, that they would come forward and pray today and accept the salvation you've given them and make that sacrifice of their self. I pray, God, you move in this room today. I pray you move wherever this broadcast is going out. I pray, God, that your word goes out and finds us where we are. Thank you, Lord, for finding me where I was at. I thank you for your precious word. Lord, work in this service, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.